This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Fellas, good to be here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live on The Drive here on a Friday. Shout out to Luke, who is in the building. Clint is out today, but we're in good hands with Luke as he is in the building with us. Luke is someone who has heard of Erykah Badu. And so he got big cool points. Damn, Tyler, for that. I want to get your thoughts on this, Luke. Tyler, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. I'm really intrigued. And the good people on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, and the people making fun of me on YouTube and Twitch. I see you, Ivan, because I can't skate. Yeah, I don't know. I'm telling you right now, there was a time I could do it. I could even spin backwards a little bit and roll a little bit when I was skating every week. I ain't put on skates in 15, at least maybe, what am I, 40 now? Oh boy, yeah, every bit of 15, 20 years.
I was a rollerblading son of a bitch, dude.
Yeah,
I was tearing them streets up.
I feel like I fall down a lot if I try to do that. But no, even you all jump in on this, but I want to throw this to you first. So, Luke, the Texans put out on Twitter, I want to make sure I got it exactly what they said, so I don't mince any words. It was short but sweet. But they tweeted it out, our 2025 coaching staff is set. It's set, baby. And I went through.
Let's get it on, baby.
I looked it up, and they have added Nick Caley is the new offensive coordinator. Obviously, we know that. Cole Popovich, no relation, is the new offensive line coach and running game coordinator. That is a promotion from assistant offensive line coach. And then they have added somebody else with a hard name. Here, look on this, Tyler. Why don't you try it? What's this fella's name, Tyler? Look up here. I got it in the doc right here. Jerry
Schuplinski.
I was thinking it. Schuplinski.
Almost.
Schuplinski.
There you go.
Schuplinski. Nailed it.
Schuplinski.
Yeah. A little Schuplinski.
Pull that L after that P there.
Them Schuplinskis, you
know. Jerry Schu is going to be a part of the offensive staff as an offensive assistant. That's the extent of the coaching staff changes.
Is that enough?
Especially offensively. Offensively, Luke, they've added Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Nick Caley is different. Yep. And so on the offensive side of the ball, they only have two new people in the building. Offensive line coaches is the assistant from last year, running backs coach stays the same. Did a great job. Tight ends coach stays the same. Wide receivers coach stays the same. All of the staff is the same except for those two things. When you hear that and understanding the issues with the offense last year, and it seems like for the most part, except for those two new voices, new faces in the building, one of which is an offensive assistant. Where does that take your mindset in thinking of the adjustments or the moves they've made to last year?
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, we could get into the whole Bobby Slowick of it all, but just for the 2025 Texans, it's almost like, to me, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, and Titanic is too strong, but, you know, that's as the expression goes. But I don't like it because you keep too much of what was already there, which you deemed was, you know, disappointment or failure last year. And it reminds me of somewhat of, you know, when the Patriots, which is always connected to this current Texans regime, but when they got rid of Belichick and then just promoted Gerard Mayo, it's like, well, you might as well just kept Belichick, because what are you really changing? He was his right-hand man. He played for him. He was his assistant coach under him. And so here, similarly, where you're keeping the whole staff, you're bringing in the new play caller. We'll see how big of a change that is, but everything else stays the same. And I also don't like, granted, these guys on this staff have connections. Nick Caley has worked with a couple of these coaches before, or with Ben McDaniel's brother, and you know, they all have the Patriots connection. But to keep it in Boston, I also don't like, go way back when the Red Sox hired Bobby Valentine, but they kept the rest of the staff from the previous tenure because they said, that was Terry Francona's fault, not the rest of the coaches.
Boston.
And none of them got along with each other because Valentine's like, these aren't my guys. They're loyal to somebody else. And so it's a little different here because some of these coaches have that connection. But I also don't like the idea of keeping a whole staff and then just bringing in the head man's new, and he now has to get along. Instead of bringing in his own guys and starting fresh, he has to just get along with the guys that have been here before.
That is weird, isn't it?
I don't like it. I wouldn't like it if I was Nick. I don't think most teams do that for a reason. And then my last point would be on all this. You mentioned our guy, Szaplinski. And if you look at his resume, you know where he went to school? He went to John Carroll. He coached for the Patriots.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Are you serious,
he
Luke?
He sure did.
JC?
Jerry did?
Yep. And he coached for the Patriots for a number of years.
I knew that.
So, for Bill Belichick, what was the biggest problem? People would always compare Belichick to Saban. And the difference was Saban was able to go outside his circle. He would bring in Lane Kiffin, even though that was so different. Where Belichick would bring back Bill O'Brien and bring back Josh McDaniels three times. And it was in his small circle. And that's my other concern here, where you have Ben McDonald has made it through like three head coaches now and multiple offensive coordinators. And you have all these, the running backs coach has been here for, you know, almost a decade. And you have these coaches that are just, Ben McDonald came in with Nick Caserio. He's been here ever since through multiple changes. I don't like this idea of it's so fraternal. John Carroll, Patriots guys, brother of a Patriots guy. Let's bring all these guys together. I think you do better when you expand outside of your circle, get a little uncomfortable, bring in different viewpoints. And so that's my other concern, is how much are we really changing here when you keep everyone else together?
Obviously, we will see what this means and how they roll. Because, like, and I want to get your thoughts, and I'm seeing some people here on the text line. It's shocking they didn't add any senior advisors. No, they got them. Old Bill Lazor, who interviewed for the job. By the way, man, Nick Caley, man, you got two other dudes on this staff that interviewed for your job that you got.
A little awkward, too.
I just wonder when one of them works directly with C.J. Stroud, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But they didn't add any senior advisors. Look at teams who are in the Super Bowl or the Final Four. They all have senior advisors. Well, Bill Lazor is their senior advisor, and he is retained, and he has been here. I do want to get your thoughts on this, Tyler. You're just literally the thought of they've really just made, let's just be honest, they made one change.
Mm-hmm.
They've promoted.
At least just one that's worth talking to.
Right. They promoted the offensive line coach, who was the assistant offensive line coach. They fired the first guy, mm-hmm. promoted him. So he was in the building, a part of it last year. They really only, and I like the way you put that, Tyler. Let's be honest. This Jerry is going to be an assistant. He's not, I don't think, and I'm not trying to make fun of Jerry or anything.
No.
But Jerry, I don't know that Jerry is even, I don't think it even has him connected to a position group right now that I've seen. We'll see what he's coached. I think he's an offensive assistant. He did come from the Rams with Sean McVay and the Patriots. But, and Nick knows him. But boy, it is there. I am a bit hung up on the Nick comes in, and this, you know, this ain't no deal of like, hey man, our head coach is the offensive guy. No, you're an offensive guy. You're the guy. You're the guy running the show. And with everything that happened last year, you're not only not bringing in some of the guys that you would handpick. I'm sorry, I just can't believe he would handpick that tight end coach. He's a tight end coach. That's what he did. I just can't believe he would handpick that tight end coach. I think he probably has somebody in mind. But it is clear, Tyler, that this is a Bobby Slowik was the problem.
Yes. More and more every day, and it's so weird.
Many of you texted in and tweeted in and said, well, let's wait and see what the staff looks like. Well, we know what the staff looks like. They
said, anybody else's fingers hurt?
This puppy is set. Now, clearly this is, in their belief, Bobby Slowik was the end-all, be-all problem, and everything would have worked if his ass just was out.
The tyrant.
That Napoleon was out. That's what they've said.
Your back's going to hurt because you just put landscaping.
When you hear this, they're pretty much staying set where they were. Where does this take you?
Yeah, I'm a little hung up on it too, man. Just for all the reasons you laid out, it's because everything's compounding when you think about it. It's not only frustration and a desire to improve the lack of productive offense we saw for the Texans last season. Obviously, that is the goal and what fans want, what we all want. But whenever it's compounded with this everyday feeling of it feels like, you know, more distaste while Slowik was here for him by the players, by maybe other coaches, you know, the anonymous quotes that came out this week talking about Slowik and kind of disparaging his name as the OC of the Texans a little bit. When you compound all that together, yeah, it feels like, man, are we sure we made enough changes on the offensive side of the ball in Houston?
I'm with you. I would have, and I think, Luke, you obviously said, I would have expected more changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would have expected more changes, and maybe all of these guys that are still here are Nick Caley guys. I don't know. Maybe they are. Someone text in, Luke, what is the new coaching structure? What this new coaching structure tells me is Slowik and CJ had serious issues with one another. Maybe, clearly, no, Slowik had some serious issues with, I would think, a lot of folks. Is what, just based off what the actions say.
Yeah, I think, look, I was all for making a change at offensive coordinator, but I think at this point now, it's almost like piling on to make Slowik the scapegoat. I find it hard to believe that it's all solely on him. You keep all the other coaches, they were all doing a great job, but it all 100% falls on Slowik.
I think he prevented them from doing as good a job as they could.
Maybe.
His fingers hurt?
I would certainly make that change. I wanted to make that change, but I think you got to make some other changes because this isn't enough. And then it also brings up the question, too, of, you go back to last year, I mean, I guess they just didn't trust anybody else on that staff to call plays. But if it was that bad, why didn't you make a decision sooner to try to save a playoff season a year ago?
Hey, now that this thing is set, Luke and Tyler, I'm serious. Why in the world did they not take, hell, why didn't they just fire him?
Right. If it was all him holding his team back.
Sleep, or I will put you to sleep.
Like that part, like if everybody else was good, Bill Lazor's call plays.
Mm-hmm.
That one gets me, boy. Maybe they just needed Nick Caley. I think that's the two things I'm hung up on, fellas. Is one, I never watched last year and saw the offensive issues and thought there's one person holding this back.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, you know what's really going to tell the story, fellas? Is if we look up here and there's minimal changes to the offensive line. Like that one is really going to
I will not be a happy camper, right? Man.
And I said this yesterday because Larry and Stafford brought it up. If we roll in here and the fix is Blake Fisher right tackle.
Oh, damn, so
Patterson at center, Titus Howard at left guard, and Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, and there's only one new player at the right guard spot, or left guard spot, or wherever they put it, right guard spot. That's going to be, so hold on. really the biggest issue was the offensive line. And the only real changes you're making is one position and just the offensive coordinator. Like that will be that like that's what I am watching for next, to see how many changes come from up front.
Yeah, it's the same concern with the offensive line coach himself, Cole Popovich, where it's like, oh, the problem there was just this one guy. Let's slide Cole over, and if he has full autonomy, oh, he's going to do wonders. This offensive line is going to be great. But I think it makes it tougher on Nick Caley to come in first-time play caller, and you don't get to choose your own staff. You have to make it work with somebody else. I've been through it before. When a new boss takes over a company, a lot of times they clean house because they want to be in charge of the personnel instead of having to make it work with the previous personnel that led to a change for a reason. So I don't like the idea of a first-time play caller without his own personal staff. And then also, you mentioned Bill Lazor. He's the one veteran on staff. I would have liked to have seen somebody else with even more experience. Lazor doesn't have the best resume of calling plays. I would have liked to have seen, I don't have a name for you, but somebody that could be a little more helpful to a first-time play caller in Nick Caley.
People would say, how about Gary Kubiak?
There you go.
Does he want to get out and hang around?
Yeah, he's been working like in the Polish Football League, so why not?
Oh, he's still working?
I don't know. Yeah, he's like an advisor for Poland for their football league, which I think is where Jerry Szaplinski got his start. That Polish name.
There it is. Is that Polish?
I assume so. Anything with ski at the end, I just assume. I don't know.
Right. Sounds like a Polish to me.
Sounds like a Polish to me. All right. Clint got me thinking about something yesterday. As it pertains to the Astros as they get ready to start spring training games coming up, and it's about the luxury guy. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh man, Tyler, you ain't been on it, man. I'm just telling my man Luke about my girl Baylen.
Is that the Tourette's chick?
Yeah, man. Her story is so dope. You know, I got that on DVR.
Yes, you told me. I do need to watch it.
Oh, man, Baylen, boy.
Just for the brother, if anything.
Oh, gosh. She's, yeah, man.
That one clip I saw her brother and his frustration with her Tourette's, just that was good for me.
She's in that airport, man. Standing in that TSA line, man. My girl said, I've got a gun.
Oh, my. Gosh.
And her mom's thinking,
no.
Could you whisper that? Just bring it down.
You can't say bomb on a plane.
But, man, her story is
dope. Bomb.
She said that, too. Her story is dope. Oh, man. You don't know old Baylen, boy. TLC, they found her, boy. She got this sucker.
That's her name?
Yeah, man.
I never heard Baylen, that man. One. Baylen?
Yeah, man. She's living and everything, man. Got her boyfriend. Good family. It's cool, man. I appreciate Baylen. Her story, man. I like that she's willing to tell it, man. Living out there, man.
Brave. Very brave.
It is, man. It is. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to old Baylen. TLC, baby.
Baylen.
Yeah.
It's my name.
I'm called all the way up. It gets me. All right. What else gets me is, we were talking about this yesterday, Luke. I don't even want to hear, but I posed the question to Clint and the people of, I think we're looking at the projected starting rotation for the Astros as they get set. Spencer Arrighetti's going to pitch on Sunday. But it looks to be Framber, Hunter Brown, and you feel really good, especially coming off the years those two had up at the top. And then Spencer Arrighetti and Blanco are the next 3-4. And they have what I've seen in most depth charts projected Wisniewski in the trade, who they got, Hayden Wisniewski, to be the fifth starter, but understanding J.P. France and Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, and then Lance McCullers are injured and could factor in at some point of the season. And I said to him, who is it that you would want most to jump in and take one of the spots in the rotation? And he said Lance. And at first, my thinking was, well, man, I'm thinking it's the fifth spot. Let me get somebody who I've got a feel that's going to be consistent. And so my mind was going more to the J.P. France and Luis Garcia, because I know they're probably more healthy than the others, or trust that they're more healthy than the others. And you've got to kind of have a feel of what maybe they're going to bring to the table. But I like what he had to say with Lance. And I can't believe I'm saying this because I just haven't been taking Lance real serious. As we understand, Lance hasn't been pitching a lot.
Bury me in the H.
But he is the one that has been an ace. The last time he pitched when he was healthy, and granted, that was a minute ago in 2021, he was the ace of this staff with Framber Valdez on the staff. And he finished seventh in the Cy Young Award winning the last time he was fully healthy. And I don't think this team needs just stable. I think they're going to, and we'll see what Christian Walker and Paredes does and some of the other guys. Maybe Pena takes another step. Maybe Diaz takes another step. But right now, they are going to have to fill whatever voids that guys like Kyle Tucker and Bregman kind of gave. And I think a way to do that is improvement and more dominant pitching staff. And Lance McCullers, if he is able to be healthy, and I know that's a major if, the last time we saw him was ace-like. And then if you start to get to a point where you can run in Framber being Framber, Hunter Brown playing at the level he played last year, and Lance playing at the level that we remember pre-injury, and that's a long time, that feels like a long time ago. That is a way you can make up for some of the overall team that you've lost. Like that is a way to make up, and then you feel good if Blanco and Eric Geddy are 4 and 5s because those guys, you know, pitched better than that at times last year. So I didn't think Lance at first, but I do. I think this team needs somebody to really step up in the rotation, so the rotation is stronger and can pick up for what I think may be a different offense.
I think it sounds nice. I just think it's pie in the sky. I mean, that would be great.
You if you want to trust it, huh?
No.
I mean, I'm not saying there's no reason not to.
And help me out, even on the Jim Adler text line, if I'm missing, has there been a pitcher that has missed, you know, back-to-back seasons and then has come back to have success? I know recently Mike Soroka is a name that pops into mind, who was with the Atlanta Braves, sub-3 ERA, blew out his Achilles twice, which is just brutal. Missed back-to-back seasons and has had an ERA of nearly 6 in his career since the Braves dumped
him. I don't know how many we've had missed back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, and come back and have success. You know, Chris Sale's dealt with a lot of injuries and won the Cy Young last year when he was 35, but he was at least pitching. He missed one entire season and then was pitching in the other seasons, just dealt with injuries. I think it's really hard to miss what would be almost 3 full years and then come out and pitch and be successful. So I think it sounds great. I would love it. If you could give me the 2021 version, absolutely I would sign up for that as one of your starting 5 pitchers. I just don't think it's very likely for a guy to miss that much time, come back, and then expect anything productive from him. I mean, that was like 3 Texans coaches ago the last time he was actually on the mound in a big league game. Yuli Gurriel was leading the league in hitting back then. You know, it was just so long ago. I don't think you can count on anything from him. So it sounds great. I think it's the least likely or at least realistic scenario, and that's why I would rely more on guys like Javier or Garcia, who I've seen more recently what they can do, and I could believe that they can contribute something this year.
Is that true? Yuli was leading the league in hitting the last time.
La Pena.
What else was happening the last
time?
Now
he's a teammate of Yu Darvish.
The last time. Is he? Oh, I guess he's
awkward.
Did he pick up? What else was happening the last time that Lance was
Altuve was playing second base, dude. How nuts is that?
Yes, Altuve
I'm stupid.
Was playing second base. No, listen, I get what you're saying, and it is a long shot, but I think they need to find and I think it has to come into the rotation. I think they're going to have to find somebody to be better than just what a normal 3 or 4 is. Right? Like, I think they, like, and maybe it is Spencer Arrighetti. Maybe Spencer Arrighetti can pull a Hunter Brown. And in year 2, he takes the jump. And then that is, But somewhere to me, and I know that Tucker was injured a lot of the time last year, and he missed 6 months, I think. But I still think they've got to make up for that loss and Bregman and that in the lineup. I think they've got to make, like, they've got to find strength somewhere else. It could be the bullpen. Maybe the bullpen is just lights out, but I don't know if that's it. And to me, it's got to be in the rotation to where it's like, hey, man, the way that our what our equalizer is, hey, man, we got four horses that could be, you know, ones or twos on many other staffs, or at least one, twos, and threes on many other staffs. And that's the way. If Lance is healthy, that's the one that I'm thinking, all right, well, hell, he's done it before. That guy's been an ace before. So I don't know. I just my mindset the whole time with the Astros, they've got to make it up somewhere else. And I don't know if that is defensively they're going to all of a sudden become a great defensive team. I don't know how I feel about that with your second baseman moving out to left field, but or they're going to have to be, you know, great in the bullpen and shut you down in the bullpen like we've seen. I don't know, but I feel like they're going to have to find a way to improve somewhere to offset losses they've had.
Maybe I'm in the minority. I don't know, but my biggest concern with this team, of course, is outfield. But if we were just to look at specific groups, or I should say general groups, I actually feel the best about the starting pitching than I think anything else on this team. I think they have a lot of depth, and I just trust the Astros organization. They have my benefit of the doubt of developing guys that I think we will see those pitchers take another step, highlighted by Arrigetti this year.
But do you sense them as being like the potential of a great rotation?
I think great rotation. Good question. I think it could be one of the better rotations in base. I think top 10 rotation. I think, trying to run through all the teams in my head right now.
Because in my mind, I just think when you look at the American League and just to say, not just AL West contenders, but contenders.
Right.
To me, I feel like their rotation has to be great, or their rotation has to be great, or their bullpen has to be great. Something has got to offset. Which I think their offense is going to be easier to work around the dead spots. I think it's going to be easier to work around Yordan, or what did old boy call him? Yeah, somebody don't know who Yordan's name is. Who was it that didn't know Yordan's name?
That was Arrigetti. Spencer
Arrigetti. Teams are going to work around him. I think teams are going to kind of navigate through this lineup easier than they have in the past. And I feel like they're just going to have to be great somewhere else. And
Yordan.
Yeah, Yordan. Yordan.
That's fair, but my bigger concern with the pitching staff is that bullpen. I got a lot of questions about the bullpen. I think the starting rotation is going to be okay. Is it going to be great? Are you going to have like those light out 1-2-3 guys in a short series in the playoffs? I don't know. Remains to be seen. I give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they could develop something. But in regards to the pitching staff specifically, I'm more concerned about the back end than the starting rotation. I think they have enough depth. They have guys that, knock on wood, all got through the season last year. The top four pitchers are going to rely on were all healthy guys that could pitch throughout a season, had success as the season went on last year. So I trust the rotation. Will it be good enough to make up some of those losses from a year ago? I give them a chance, but my bigger concern with the pitching staff is that bullpen, that's why.
I feel you on that.
Yeah, you know, I think the starting rotation will be okay.
It feels like they're going to be throwing a lot of Abreu and Hader.
Yeah.
If they got to win games.
Yeah, who else you got?
To get to that. Yeah. Rafi. All right, coming up.
I love how you stopped yourself.
Rafael Montero.
Yeah.
Coming up. What Texans player season are you anticipating the most coming up in 2025? Who is it on the Texans that you are most excited or ready to see in 2025? We'll discuss that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, jump in with us. What player coming in the 2025 season? What player are you anticipating, their season that you're anticipating the most in 2025? A couple from the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. That fella, text line. I want to see what this defense looks like with Christian Harris healthy and Aziz. Someone said, and then Petrie in parentheses. All right, but you can't just roll through three names. We said one. Someone else texted in, it's CJ. Was it a sophomore slump, or did we get classified, or did we get catfished with his rookie season? CJ is a, I think that's a clear one to see how he bounces back, to see how much Nick Caley is able to affect him there. I like the thought of Christian Harris, though. That one is a good one too, just because, like, first off, again, I will never understand how we don't know what that was about. I will never understand how Christian Harris gave us, I think, a total of nine defensive snaps in two ball games and was playing special teams out there. I will never know that. But that is, I like the Christian Harris one because, I mean, we heard it from D'Amico himself that he's the best and most athletic linebacker. He's the most athletic linebacker he's ever coached.
Bad MF-er.
And that's with Aziz. That's with Fred Warner. That's with Dre Greenlaw in San Francisco, the guys he's coached. So, yes, I want to see a full season and hopefully healthy Christian Harris. I agree with that. Is the play as a player being most anticipated. Who you got?
Interesting. I agree. I like that idea, but I don't think that's number one. I'm going to go for the low-hanging fruit, which has already been mentioned.
CJ?
I'm going to say CJ Stroud for a couple of things. I mean, number one, I think it all starts with him. The quarterback is most important. And then number two and three combined together.
Strat House.
You know, there's this thing in music about the third album. A lot of bands put out a great first album because you've been preparing your whole life for it. Then you have to come out with your second album within like 12 months because of the contract. Different process. Bands struggle with that. And then that third album's the make or break. And I always say the same thing for a lot of athletes as well, where you have that great first year. Okay, then the league kind of catches up to you. We saw that sophomore slump this year for Stroud. Well, now it's that third album, that make or break, to see which Stroud is the real Stroud this upcoming year. And on top of it, as we already talked about earlier this afternoon, you got rid of Bobby Slowick, who apparently was solely responsible for all of the issues this past year.
Dang it, Bobby.
So now it's like, okay, well, what other excuse is there? The offensive line has to be better, but that evidently falls on the lap of the OC. So new play caller, hopefully plenty of pieces around him. Third season for me, it all starts and ends with the quarterback, and I'm curious to see what Stroud does in 2025, if he could take a step forward with a new play caller.
Yeah, CJ makes sense because obviously, like, the reason why there was so much excitement about him, about the team, and why the team went and attacked last year and made some let's win now moves, like, you know, like getting Diggs, like getting Aziz Alshire, like getting Danielle Hunter, was because of him. And then that wasn't shown last year for a multitude of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And even some that weren't even on his issue. Our tight end that got injured. I'm guessing you mean Kate Stover? Okay. All right. And if Stingley is officially a shutdown corner. I like that. Is there another level that Stingley can take it up to? That would be interesting. Hell, he's already an all-pro first team. Is there another level as he'll, I'm sure, get paid? That's cool. For me, is Will Anderson.
Hmm.
Will Anderson, I felt like, was close to having a special year. And I think he did, but I'm talking a no doubt. And this is somebody, Tyler, you know, I was hard and nervous at the beginning on Will Anderson. And hey, man, is he going to be a very, very good player, or is he going to be a great player?
You're right? Gonna get hard.
That's right. And I listen, you knew he would hit you hard. I don't know if he would get you there, but he would hit you hard. He would play physical. He would play the run well, and he would work his ass off. But the thought was, especially early, was, hey, does he have just natural, bam, just big play talent right off the bat? And he worked himself, and he has worked himself into being a problem. He was dominant at times against the Chiefs in the playoff game that we last watched. Got multiple sacks there and just whooped. I know he was a guard, but he wasn't giving up issues leading up to it. There you go. We're leading up to some guys there, and he was dominant at times in that playoff game. And that's one I definitely think Will Anderson has another level to take it up to. And I'm excited. Like it feels like all pro potential season. Right, we saw Pro Bowl. We've seen Pro Bowl the first 2 years. We saw Defensive Rookie, kind of what you're talking about. We saw Defensive Rookie of the Year. We saw him build on that, and there was just a feel of comfort. And I know what I'm doing and how to win, and I'm adding different things to it. So I am really excited to see what Will Anderson looks like in year three of this thing. What did you say about the album comparison?
You never heard that before?
No, I've heard it. What is it? Year?
A lot first, hinges on that third album.
The first one
that's
is
the
what?
Make or break. Well, the first album you're working your whole life for. Right? Yeah, those are the songs you've been writing for years. Now you finally have the record contract. You can put it on.
Second one is
vinyl. Second one. Now you sign a record deal. They say, okay, now you got to turn around, and give us another album in a year. And so for the first time in your career, you're writing under
third
a crunch.
One's the big one.
Then the third one's like, okay, can they figure this out? Writing under a short window and while touring, or is this just, you know, a one hit wonder that they just came up with a bunch of good songs over 15 years?
Who's executed that one really well?
There's quite a few.
I'm certain.
Well,
already.
from
what was Erykah Badu's third album?
It's a good one. I think she. I feel like Erykah came out very much like Nirvana, just really, really hard out of the gates. I feel like Baduism is her first one. And that is...
Makes me think of Lil Wayne, because the Carter 3 is like, you know, one of my favorite hip-hop albums of all time.
See, it's crazy. See, I love the Carter, but the Carter's... That's
Carter's
not,
good, too.
That is not... The Block is Hot. Is that the first one from Wayne?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, see, yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody who is... Because I've seen a lot of people bang out that first one.
Oh, yeah.
And never really... I bet Beyonce fits this. I bet she nailed it. I bet you can
see. Sasha Fierce was her third.
And B-Day was the first one, I think. I feel like I'm trying to think.
It's a popular thing in rock. Like Bruce Springsteen's third album was Born to Run, which is probably his greatest.
Yeah.
Metallica's was Master of Puppets.
Is that there?
Yep, yeah, that was their third. U2's was War, which, again, you know, is one of the bigger ones. Tom Petty was Damn the Torpedoes, probably his greatest album.
Look at him going off the top of his head.
So, in rock, classic rock, yeah, this is a theory, you know, this is something I've always used or talked about. In classic rock, or rock in general, I think it's very prominent. I don't know more about, you know, the last 30 years or hip-hop or rap or if it's as prevalent there, but in rock it is.
Because I'm thinking Mahomes came out with... like Nirvana. Like his first year.
Yeah.
But, no, his second year he won it all, did he? Yeah, no. But he second year he won it all. So
well, his first year, his true first year, he only played in one game. So that'd be like somebody who was like featured artist
first time he started,
and then every album they put out after that was just incredible. Yeah,
that's a nice little theory. I kind of like that. All right, coming up as we continue, right there you hear him. That is Luke. Luke is in the building. Clint is out. He will be back next week. You hear Tyler right there behind this thing. As we continue, Dirty's Daily coming up behind us, and we're going to try to hold it down for him. And there was something said by one of the young stars in sports that I think got a lot of people talking. But I think what we've watched this week completely kind of makes sense of why his thought process of where it is. We'll discuss that coming up next. Daily's Dirty.